Coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for sketches, songs, and stories on the political process. Actor Brendan McKay runs for mayor, and L.A. roots singer Pi Jacobs performs.
It's not very compelling.
I'm just trying to deliver the facts.
Yeah, but you're not going to win like that.
Win what?
The hearts and minds of the electorate.
When I'm running for office? Yeah,
for president of public radio. And when I'm finished with you, you're going to be wearing a pantsuit and have hair like a shellacked helmet. Now take it from the top, make it inspiring.
Okay. My fellow Americans, the time has come to set aside our differences.
Not bad. Don't be soft, though, Commander-in-Chief.
Because without a strong defense, we won't be able to enjoy stories and sketches and songs.
Don't leave out the lefties, though.
And free public radio for all.
Bring it home, sling that mud.
Because we don't punch cats or steal donuts like Ira Glass. On American Parlor Songbook.
Perfect.
This is American Parlor Songbook, with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And on the other microphone, second in the order of succession, but first in the order of talent, Julie Van Dusen. Politics. Lawyers and lobbyists, jockeying for position like rats in a sewer, scurrying for that sweet, sweet kickback cheese. Sent by the people to deliver their will, winking as they swap it out for marching orders from the oligarchs and the military-industrial complex. Oh, sorry, am I starting to sound like a pink-haired protester at an anarchist drum circle? Well, maybe I am. But so is that voice in your head, isn't it? Even you calm folks, middle-of-the-road folks, even tempered and kind. Not too politically far out there. No, even you can hear the voice in the back of your head now, too, can't you? There's only so far that the ship can sink before you can't breathe anymore above the water. And, well, sooner or later, you gasp for air and you start to shout. Do you vote? Can you vote your way back onto the shore? Does your vote even count? Someone asked me what I thought of electoral colleges. I said I didn't even finish high school. They said they thought that public radio was more educated. I said, you can't teach a radio. It's an inanimate object. So am I, actually, 90% of the day. Even on election day, I don't bother to move. I guess it's my fault. I'm a lowlife. I'm a hypocrite. I only think of my own comfort. Maybe I'll run for office. Now, commit a left or the right of the middle, a little political or all the way, it'll whittle away in your head like a riddle, no matter the way with the numbers you fiddle. The cronies and phonies and bunk testimonies, the truth is the object of their acrimony, and dealing the back of the deck, the baloney, or whether you backpack a derm or a pony, you might as well pack it all in and quit voting today. Okay. Politics used to be simple. Brutal, but simple. If you could beat up the biggest gorilla, you were president of the apes. For canines, you just had to be able to pee higher. The tallest presidential candidates usually win now, so I guess it's not that different. But I digress. Where was I? Right now, the beginning. Once we got our sweet, juicy noggins beefed up and we figured out how to talk and we started making little tribes, early society, well, someone had to make the decisions. So some big jerk just, you know, told everyone what to do. Went on like that for millennia. Then the Greeks invented democracy. Votes, senators, the whole nine yards. Actually, it wasn't measured in yards then. They used olive branches for measurements. That's where the expression came from. I just made that up because it sounded good. Anyway, once you needed people to enact a vote, you had politicians. Hold on, I guess you can't have politicians without voting, though. The Ruskies, for example, they just had committees, you know, in the Soviet Union. The committee would just up and nominate the chairman. People didn't have any say in it at all. And if you complained, they sent you off to the gulag. Joseph Stalin sent a lot of people there. And he was just, you know, appointed premier of the Soviet Union. So when he wouldn't step down, they said, you're just Stalin. So if you're wondering, the answer is yes. You can make bad dad jokes about Soviet politics. And if you don't like it, there's the door. You can Trotsky right out of here.
Now, committal, left or the right of the middle, a little political, or all the way it'll whittle away in your head like a riddle. No matter the way with the numbers you fiddle, the cronies and phonies and bunk testimonies, the truth is the object of their acrimony, and dealing the back of the deck, the baloney, or whether you backpack a derm or a pony, you might as well pack it all in and quit voting today. Okay.
Now, American politics are especially interesting. The election, well, it starts at the beginning of always. Well, it comes around again every all the time, constantly. Yes, it seems as though America is always in an election. Every 2 years they have them, but the campaigns last 3 or 4. Sometimes the votes are still being counted when the next one starts. It's a complicated system. You know, delegates, state delegates, electoral colleges, popular vote totals. And the only way to keep tabs on it, apparently, is to go on TV and jump around in front of a colorful graph on a screen, calling African Americans firewalls. Even when the numbers aren't changing, that guy just keeps jumping around and waving his hands, showing different colors on the screen, explaining what could happen if this one goes that way or that one goes this. Sometimes, even when he shows you somebody's got the most votes, they don't win. Seems fair. Oh, you hear it? There's that voice again. The one in your head agreeing with me. Shh. Let's just get back to normal. Look for the nearest person in a fresh suit with helmet hair and a steady cadence. You know, it's always worked, but never. I probably shouldn't comment. I'm from Canada, where they still have the Queen on the dollar. They have elections and all that, too, though. They have a more reliable counting method. Pencil and paper. Easy to verify, easy to count, easy to mark up. You know, little boxes by the names, down the ballot, check your choices. And in true Canuck fashion, there's an extra little box beside each that you can check. It's the apology option. Smith for school treasurer, check, sorry. Johnson, premier, sorry. Prime minister, check, sorry. Not sure how it works in America. I think a system of levers in some states. Some states you just go and stand with a group of people and yell at the others to join you. It's called a caucus. If you think I'm going to make a dad joke here with the word caucus and risk an FCC fine, you're nuts.
Now, committal, left or the right of the middle, a little political, or all the way it'll whittle away in your head like a riddle. No matter the way with the numbers you fiddle, the cronies and phonies and bunk testimonies, the truth is the object of their acrimony, and dealing the back of the deck, the baloney, or whether you backpack a derm or a pony, you might as well pack it all in and quit voting today. Okay.
We like to think that things go in cycles. You know, the pendulum swings, that old idea. I'm not so sure, though. Of course, corruption gets corrected now and again. You know, throughout history, governments get carried away, the politicians go corrupt, the people get fed up, a little correction back on course. For the last 50 years, politicians have been preaching the slow correction. Oh, it's a big ship, and, you know, just can't crank the wheel, or you'll flip the boat over. Problem is, it's a big ship, yeah. But it's an even bigger wave, and you just keep losing ground. You get further and further adrift. Might be time to grab the wheel and crank it. It's scary, though, because it's risky. There's fascism on those rocky shores. You know, just keep that boat out in the water. Well, there's rocks under the water, too. The shallow water, flowing with the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Look up, there's a horizon out there and a sunrise, and with enough oars in the water, it isn't that far away, is it? Oh, whoops, I sounded like I was making a speech there. I think I'm supposed to just tell jokes and sing songs. I should probably dial it back. And besides, I'd be a terrible politician. I'd sell you all out real fast. Pretty much offer me a swimming pool and a bacon sandwich. I'll sell everyone down the river. Bacon sandwich sounds pretty good, actually. So I'm going to run for office this week. A little stump speech here or there, shake some hands, kiss a few babies. See if we can't corrupt the whole public radio system. Stick around. The app's not going to count your vote anyway.
Non-committal, left or the right of the middle, a little political, or all the way it'll whittle away in your head like a riddle. No matter the way with the numbers you fiddle, cronies and phonies and bunk testimonies, the truth is the object of their acrimony, and dealing the back of the deck, the baloney, or whether you backpack a derm or a pony, you might as well pack it all in and quit voting today. All right, okay.
And as always, if you're offended by something you hear on the program this week, I don't know, maybe you're a Democrat, maybe you're a Republican, Libertarian, Socialist, I don't know what you are, it's all good. Well, if you are offended by something you hear, you can tweet me directly at TheJPHouston, and you'll be promptly ignored. Our musical guest this week in the studio, a great singer-songwriter out of Los Angeles, California, Pi Jacobs.
So I spent a lot of years as a waitress and a bartender. And funny thing is that now that I'm a musician, I still find myself working in bars and nightclubs and restaurants. So when I was thinking about the characters I wanted to write about, I thought for sure I should write an homage to all the hardworking waitresses out there. So this song is for you. It's called The Waitress's Blues.
I got my ever loving waitress's blues. Down at my feet hurt, and that table won't leave. I heard they were billionaires. All this food and I can't eat. When I clock out tonight, my manager tried a cup of feel. I got my ever loving waitress's blues. Damn it, I need this job. Nowhere else can I make this green. Me the time. Oh, I ain't giving up on my dreams. Take care of my kids. Oh, sometimes the world just seems so mean. I got them ever loving.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
I'm Sashay Veneers, and you are Up Close. youngish, tall, goofy. All words used to describe Democratic toy boy Beto O'Rourke. Since storming the national scene by coming vaguely close in a Texas election, losing handily to pasty vampire Ted Cruz, Beto has been climbing on anything in the room to tell us nice-sounding things. Touted as the future of Democratic politics because he looks slightly like Robert Kennedy, I met up with Beto at the skateboard park to get to the colonel at the center of the popcorn metaphor. Beto? I know how to read. It says Beto. Robert! Rob. Robbie. Is it Beto or is it Beto?
Beto.
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 You say tomato, I say tomato.
It's tomato.
Let's agree to disagree.
If we can stand together, we can make real progress.
Now, would you say that's more of a platitude or a bromide?
Watch me do this 180 kickflip on my board and we'll decide.
Definitely a bromide. You see what I did there? With his casual je ne sais sup and his father-in-law's money, the beatster easily skated past the embarrassing discovery of his teenage emo manifesto and hilarious leotard stint in a 90s rock band, straight in and quickly out of the Democratic primary. I honed in on the pushing 50-years-old wunderkind to get to the pimento at the center of the bologna in the middle of the sandwich inside the lunchbox of truth. Rob. Robert Not F. Kennedy Jr. Beto. Can I just call you BFK?
It's the names and labels that continue to divide our country, and we need bold new direction regardless of name, skin color, age, or gender.
Oh, that's a good one. 4 Obama points.
With enough courage and a little hope.
Hope. I like it.
We can come together regardless of name, skin color, age, or gender.
You already said that. But okay, I'm following.
The stuff that this country is made of is the stuff that we need to do stuff and to get the stuff that we don't need out of the stuff that we do need.
Ooh, I do like stuff.
And we, this great country, are made of such stuff.
Oh, no. He's rolling up his sleeves. He means business.
If we can roll up our sleeves and
look
work
out
together.
He's climbing on the table.
Standing tall in the face
of
adversity. Rising up against our own self-doubt.
He's going to do it.
Digging deep down.
The triple ollie platitude 360.
Holding hands
it's
together.
It's never been done before.
Together we can build a better tomorrow.
He's up and he's down. I'm Sashay Veneers, and we don't stand a chance. We'll be right back with somebody named Buttigieg.
I think it's about time we had another song from Pi Jacobs.
Hey, so I know you radio guys can't see what's happening here, but all the sounds you're hearing are made by me. So if you have a beef, it's with me. No, what happened was just the logistics of being an indie artist or being on a small label is that I can't bring the band on every show. So usually they play the big cities, New York, LA, Nashville, San Francisco with me. And then I tour by my little old merry self to the next town. And I was frustrated with just playing guitar and singing because I just really hear rhythm all the time. So after many, many years of experimentation, I'd say I've been working on it like 4 years now. I have this stomp box that I've altered and I play standing up with my feet while I'm playing guitar and singing. It's crazy. As I like to say, this is what you do when you have a little bit of ADD. Anyway, I hope you guys like this next one. It's called A Good One. I think it's super romantic, although I've been told otherwise. Enjoy.
I got a good one. Days are blessed and a wonder. There's no earthly reason for my dumb luck. So I pour it all out, my broken cup. Now I'm versed in all the ways of goodbye. Divorce, whiskey, legal problems, and cheaters' lies. Oh, I'm a pro at what not to do. Oh, I did it so well till I met you. I got a good one. Days of bliss and wonder, and there's no earthly reason for my dumb luck. So I pour it all out, my broken cup. All the ways to run and hide. Oh, I know to leave before you say goodnight. Oh, I got skills. The cheating kind. Oh, but a man like you requires a new frame of mind. And you disarm me with your kindness.
You can find information about our musical guest on our website, piejacobs.com. That's piejacobs.com. Russians were red. Everywhere they went, they traveled in caravans of green military vehicles, you know, through gray streets. They marched in time, cold and stern, and they had no feelings at all. And they had an arsenal of thermal nuclear weapons pointed directly at your living room. Those yellow-bellied, Rambo-fearing commies, well, they didn't even believe in money. Yeah, that's right, money. We learned this solemn truth about the Ruskies in completely accurate action movies on tiny multiplex screens in Spielberg towns in the 1980s. No matter how hard we tried, and we did try often, you couldn't quite live out a movie-style montage in the real world. You can't jump-cut reality. We did our best, though. My sister shoving me into the closet for the age-old try-on-the-outfits montage. Awesome new wave pop on the tape player, you know, come out in my mom's shoes, a round of thumbs down, shake the head, you know, back in, and reappear as quickly as possible in that moo-moo my aunt left last Christmas. Cool pose, tip the sunglasses, congratulatory head nods, thumbs up, outfit selected, high fives all around, and freeze frame.
But everyone knows that the most important montage of your life, the big one, is the training montage. When you have 1 week to buff up just in time to box or karate or battle the invasion. For quickest results, you don't use gym equipment. No, you use ordinary household items like logs. You know, they have more true American spirit. But whatever you do, just make sure to live out your life as if the movies or G.I. Joe cartoons are biblical fact. And they were made to teach us the real way that the world works. A bobble-headed oil can actor ruled the free world. He made America great again by trickle-down raining Walkmans from the sky for all the little boys and girls. His wife kept us safe from drugs with a foolproof cure, saying no. Together, they made all us Goonies wholesome again, and rich enough to windsurf and to moonwalk. Eventually, he tore down the Berlin Wall with his bare hands. I have to confess that I was never once on time for grade school. You couldn't put me to sleep with a baseball bat covered in cyanide, so I'd always stay up all night. I'd commando crawl into the living room at 2 a.m. for late show nudie B-movies on Channel 57 and illegal bowls of chocolate ice cream carefully scooped out of the Neapolitan stripe, leave behind that strawberry for my sisters to deal with, and stay up through, I don't know, the Five Deadly Venoms or, I don't know, a dubbed Italian saucy romp of some kind, and then I'd drag my sleepy eyes through the snow in the morning to class, you know, just in time for 9:17. There wasn't much there for me at Williamson Road Public School. It was somewhere that I just waited to run home from for Flintstones lunches or 4 o'clock ball hockey grudge matches. Once in a blue moon, though, there'd be a Christmas concert to sing in or a yo-yo champion in the auditorium, and then I'd tune right in. Or one day, in the deepest Cold War winter, a mock international peace summit. Every last kid on the entire continent shook under the sheets together on the same night, one Sunday when televisions mandatorily tuned in for the event of the year, the day after. Let's all watch, together with our children, exactly what will happen when those commies finally let the missiles fly and they melt every classroom into a Formica lump and they toast your meemaw and pop-pop and they burn your shadow right into the playground cement. Now sleep tight and don't do drugs. Some people just want to watch the world burn. Maybe they're insane. Or maybe their mother didn't love them right. Or maybe they're just grumpy due to lack of sleep. When they handed out the countries for the mock international peace summit, well, I was a few Z's into a good Buck Rogers dream. And by the time I came to, the teacher had already handed out all the cool countries, you know, whittled it down past the harmless Lithuanias and such, and then unceremoniously dumped the last available USSR right in my lap. Well, all right. You want a peace summit? Well, I can be Russians. If anybody knows Russians, it's me. I've seen them all. I'll give you a peace summit. The school project dining room table is completely predictable. Now, I dare you, I challenge you to go out there in any house you want and find one that doesn't have a paper mache stain on the table from the baking soda volcano or the ruler drawn line that slipped off the Bristol board for that four food groups pyramid. All done with the help of Mom on the very last possible night. I kicked my sister's game of Ouija board boyfriend requests off the table, and I got down to business. Red construction paper, good. Stick it to a ruler, perfect. Proud yellow sickle and hammer. A wind-stiff flag fit for a general secretary. A scroll listing some of Marx's finer manifesto points. Oh, right, what else? A fur hat. You gotta have a fur hat. I'll make it out of my old Chewbacca costume from last Halloween. No stitches needed, just scotch tape will do. Oh, yeah, that ketchup bottle. I'll repurpose the label. I'll put a little water in there, and voila, we've got a vodka prop. What else? Right. Oh, yeah, I have to have that birthmark. A menacing purple birthmark right across my face. Mom's eyeshadow smudged on there. Perfect. Now, where did I put my nuclear briefcase? The baby boomer teachers, they gave up on street protesting. They got their degrees, and they moved into the classroom to fix the world by doing just what CSNY told them to do, teach their children well, which included, but was not limited to, forced choir singings of Gordon Lightfoot songs, the acceptance of creative spelling, and, of course, mock international peace summits. A Soviet is serious, calculated, efficient, always on time. So I somehow defied my pattern, and I arrived at 5 to 9. Head down, marched straight into the class, firm grip on the briefcase, past Cameroon, a stern look at Canada, and then, well, I plunked myself right down in between East and West Germany. And I stood my little paper flag up in that, the vestigial inkwell hole that's on those desks, right? I pressed play on the one-speaker library-borrowed tape recorder there, blasted out the warbly Soviet anthem that I secondhand recorded from a VHS of Rocky IV. I stood with a single stoic tear in my eye, hand on my cold Slavic heart. I was all in. Pure, cold evil. Just like the truth. The truth in the action movies and method acting, just for the sheer something to do of it. Teacher walks in, gavel in her hand. You know, to clobber us with the hippie agenda. Stand and sing the world anthem of peace. Both Sides Now by Judy Collins. Hold hands. I said, freely express peace by holding hands. This session of the International Peace Summit is hereby called to order. We'll begin by offering our cultural peace items. Hannah, what did you bring? Hannah stands up. I have made the traditional Lithuanian potato pancakes as a peace offering to my neighbor Poland. Not Nathan, in return. And in return, I offer Poland's traditional potato pancake. And around the room, just like that, a Chilean pan flute made from toilet paper rolls, a paper mache Ming vase, and me. In exchange for America's traditional baseball glove, I offer this letter of rebuke for its behavior in Cuba. Let the fun begin. The smile dropped from Miss Hancock's face. She pressed on, though. Now, with the concessions, turn to your neighbor, shake hands, and present your compromise. I compromise nothing! I started to affect an accent. A bad one, mind you. The capitalist aggressor will stand down or face the consequences. No, she says, this is a peace summit. Offer peace. This mock summit is a mockery. The lesson started to fall apart. It was great. You can't just undo years of bad movie propaganda from an impressionable kid, especially one with a penchant for De Niro-level method acting. I even put on 3 pounds for the part. I wasn't going to cave that easily. Miss Hancock pulls herself back together. She says, all right, everybody, around the circle, into the peace circle. We're going to take a vote and close out the assembly. I took a swig off my ketchup bottle vodka. All in favor of the World Peace Treaty, raise your hand. I crossed my arms. All in favor, raise your hand. She starts walking around behind the circle. I hunker down. All in favor. She starts trying to pull my arm up by the elbow. All in favor. We wrestle back and forth, and I reach for the latch on my suitcase. All in favor of world peace, raise it. I pop open the suitcase, and then kid Dr. Strangelove in a fur hat with eyeshadow birthmark, Russian danced his way into the center of the peace circle and began the unthinkable sequence. And so the cardboard cutout mushroom cloud rose from the briefcase and wiped out the entire room 7 fifth grade nations, potato pancakes and all. Miss Hancock's boomer dreams of peace went up in nuclear winter smoke. A peaceful feeling, really, finally free from the looming potential end of the world. Once it's all gone, there's nothing left to fear. Kumbaya, comrades. Kumbaya.
Run the flag up the pole and divide. Drawing lines in the sand, take a side. Superpowers playing catch with the sun. Shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter @ Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook, still counting votes here on our political episode. Now our good friend actor Brendan McKay brings us a stump speech from a mayoral candidate.
Hello, citizens of Bundleton. For those of you that don't know me, I'm John Mark Roberts. I really want to thank you for gathering here today as I officially kick off my campaign to be your next mayor of Bundleton. I apologize for my being sick. I caught a cold from my darling 4-year-old daughter, Delilah. But as you all know, the work never stops. You gotta keep showing up. And if you elect me as your mayor, that is exactly what I will do for you. One second. No. I don't need more tissues, Tyler. This lone handkerchief will be enough. Thank you. Now, today, I want to go over a few things. I want to talk about the issues. I want to talk about what it really means to be a leader. And I want to close on the reasons you should embark with John Mark. Bundleton, over the last couple of days, I've been listening to the people's concerns about the issues in this town. Tyler, I said issues, not tissues. Thank you. Okay. Bundleton, these concerns of yours are not going unheard. Well, truth be told, I am a bit congested in the ears right now, so I only heard about 1/3 of your concerns, but those I did hear will very much be addressed. Right now, in fact. Excuse me. I hear you, and I understand that you want Flanagan Pond to be filled back up. Now, I'm not the type of man who makes willy-nilly promises, but I can assure you I can find roughly 5,000 gallons of water somewhere. I mean, it may be reclaimed water, but the ponds are for looking, not for drinking, am I right? Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, little pond humor for you. Oh, okay. For those of you frustrated with the graffiti in the town, I am too. I hear you. Although our town graffiti artist is not very original, it has been trying to constantly view this quote-unquote art on local storefronts and neighborhood walls. I promise to find this person who can't help but spray paint Mr. Pibb rules everywhere they can. I promise swift justice and maybe a crash course on nutritional beverage choices while we're at it. In regards to better sick pay for government officials, believe you me, I'm on top of it. Oh. That concludes the concerns I physically heard during my time of listening to the people of Bundleton. Everything else was a lot like the teacher talking from Charlie Brown. And I assure you that I am pumped full of dextromethorphan and acetaminophen right now. Now, let's take a moment to talk about leadership. I have a poem here from James Russell Lowell, A Leaf of Paper. Life is a leaf of paper white, wherein each one of us may write his word or two, and then comes night. Greatly begin, though thou have time, but for a line, be that sublime, not failure, but low aim is crime. James Russell Lowell had it right, folks. Not only did he have three first names like myself, but he also knows that aiming low is a crime. So I aim to be a leader who aims high. I will set my goals high and work my hardest for all of you, dearest Bundletonians. Okay. Oh, good Lord. Almost done. Okay. You know what, Tyler, I will take those extra tissues. Thank you so much. Tyler Paul Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, my eldest son, just officially became a Boy Scout. None of that Cub Scout stuff anymore. Proud of you, son. Great, so now is the call to action, ladies and gentlemen. Time to embark with John Mark. If you want a strong, healthy leader, it's time to embark with John Mark. If you want someone who will stand for the people, embark with John Mark. Oh, mercy. Okay. Here we go. And if you want me to be the next mayor of Bundleton, embark with John Mark. I'm John Mark Roberts. See you at the polls, Bundleton. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you.
Actor Brendan McKay with another great piece. We've got about enough time for one more song from Pye Jacobs.
She packed a bag while he was working, emptied out the bank account, told no one where she was going, headed west out of town. It's taken all of her nerve, but it won't catch her. She's got nothing to lose in the review. Ooh. It ain't so bad starting over. Soon these bruises will fade. She's gonna be a different woman. Dyed her hair, taking all of her nerve, but it won't catch her. She's got nothing to lose in the review.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR and available on PRX.
Wendell.
You can find information about the program on our website, American Parlor.
Wendell!
Oh, come on, Martha. I was sleeping.
Well, I don't know how you can sleep at a time like this.
Staring at that clock isn't going to speed it up any.
What if I get up and nudge the hands a little bit?
Oh, unless you've got a time machine, it's going to move at the same speed.
But I want to know if I won the election.
And you will in due time.
Well, what's taking them so long?
Well, Martha, they had to redo the count when they caught you trying to stuff the ballot box.
Those were absentee ballots.
Yes, all those absent from this earth.
So I may have used a few mail-ins from the condos recently departed.
Dead people can't vote.
Of course they can. It's the oldest trick in the campaign handbook.
Which handbook?
From Kennedy to Clinton. How to cheat and look good doing it.
Oh, neither of those were caught cheating.
Exactly.
What else does that little handbook teach you?
Rejecting ballots, gerrymandering, suppressing the vote.
And that one explains why the golf cart was parked against the Nussbaum's door.
Oh, no, no, that was a lucky coincidence. I did set it on fire, though.
Yet they still managed to vote.
Yes, but I had their ballots rejected. Too crispy.
Why do you want to be the condo president so badly, anyway?
The kickbacks, Wendell. All those sweet, sweet kickbacks.
What kind of kickbacks could you possibly get administering Shady Dunes?
You'd be surprised what they'll pay for the first slot on the shuffleboard court Saturday mornings.
You'll be impeached before the midterm.
Yes, but not removed. The Birdwatchers Club have my back.
Oh, what do they get in return?
I promised them a condor.
Wait, I thought they were extinct.
No, no, Marvin bounced back from his murmur. And Mr. Johnson turns 90 next week.
No, the bird.
How would I know how old the bird is?
I assumed you speak vulture, I guess.
No, but I do speak platitude.
I know you do. I heard your closing speech.
People of Shady Dunes, together only we can do what is in our hearts.
And all delivered while juggling flaming batons.
Don't forget the hula hoop.
You know it's not a talent show, right?
Everything is a talent show, Wendell.
We shall see. The vote is still out.
Oh, that goon Martin is probably fixing it for Mrs. Vanderhorn as we speak.
Not everyone is corrupt like you, Martha.
It's politics, Wendell. It's a dirty business.
I suppose I can't argue with that.
So, if everyone cheats, then I have to as well.
But which came first, the chicken or the condor?
Well, I didn't start it. Well,
then who did?
Some Greek in the first election.
They invented democracy and began the dirty tricks right away,
They were ahead of their time. They were flying commando in those togas 2,000 years before the sexual revolution.
I hear they had plumbing, too.
Well, of course they did, but the togas covered it up.
All right. Now, we could spend all night discussing the finer points of Greek democracy and biting our fingernails, or we can get a nice night's rest and hear the results over brunch.
No, I can't sleep with it up in the air like this. It's nerve-wracking.
All right. What if I told you it isn't really up in the air?
I'd say you were trying to trick me into going to sleep.
No, no, no dirty political games around here, Martha. Just pure tallied votes.
You're pulling my leg.
Oh, I'm right on the level.
Well, then spill it.
All right, but you can't gloat until tomorrow.
I won?
Promise me you won't run out that door to the Nussbaums with a bag of fireworks.
Oh, how about a simple air horn?
No, you have to promise me you'll wait until brunch when the results are officially released. We don't want to blow the scheme.
What scheme?
Well, I've been pulling your leg, Martha. We couldn't know the results without the fix being in, could we?
But they caught me stuffing the box.
No, you were the decoy.
I was.
Of course. I knew you were going to make a brash play for it, so I lay in wait.
Oh, you naughty little tiger.
And I pounced when you made your move, swapping out the tally sheets with the pre-made ones.
You fiend! Oh,
I have the real sheets right here.
Oh, how devious, Wendell.
And you lost by a landslide.
Those bird watchers betrayed me.
And the Purple Hat Club, too.
Those bats!
Oh, don't worry. You'll be installed by brunch.
But why, Wendell? I thought you were all about democratic integrity.
Sure, like there's such a thing. Besides, there's something in it for me.
Aha! A quid pro quo.
Is there any other quo?
What do I owe you?
First, I need that opening slot on the court every Saturday.
Consider it done.
And then I want center stage at the Christmas pageant.
Center right, I'll take left.
Fine.
Is that all?
And I'll take a good night's sleep.
Let's see. No, there's just one more kickback I'm going to need.
All right, what's that?
My lullaby, of course.
For Madam President, anything.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.